It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. First of all, I have to tell you that we need to do something about that little pre-tape thing that says this is pre-recorded. This is by no means pre-recorded. This is a legal show, and it's intentional or at least negligent misrepresentation. KBC is misrepresenting that this show was pre-recorded. It is nothing of that kind. It is live right now. It's happening right now. In fact, I saw the worst words that anyone wants to see on Waze, which was on my screen in my car, that said traffic is building. And traffic did build, and I didn't make it there on time, but we're live, and I'm looking to the cars next to me, and I think they're actually listening to me, because I see some smiles on faces as I turn next to me. They're listening to me trying to get to KBC Studios live, not pre-recorded, not intentionally trying to misrepresent our audience. I am trying to get there, and I will get there, but traffic did build. I was at my son's baseball tournament in the Conejo Valley, and it just ended. He lost, unfortunately. I jumped in the car, and because we're not pre-recorded, I had to get there. But thankfully, I have a wonderful co-host who is in studio, who is there waiting for me, Leanne Tweeden.
Welcome.
How are you doing? And thank you. Thank you for being there.
No problem. When Genevieve called me and said, hey, we might have an issue today, I said, I am ready and willing to do whatever needs to be done because Alan is playing super dad today. And that makes me so happy that you're making these memories with your son. And I said, hey, if he calls in, if he shows up halfway through, if he doesn't call in at all because they're celebrating, I got you. So I'm so happy to hear that he did well, but I'm sorry that did they end up losing the final, your son?
Well, it was actually the semifinal. They were winning 10 to 2, and unfortunately, they imploded, and they lost 17 to 12. But, Hudson had a great game. I wish they would have put him into pitch. I think if they would have, they wouldn't have lost the game. But that's what we deal with, on these all-star teams.
Yep.
The coaches do what they're going to do, and the coach's son pitched, gave up 10 runs. So unfortunately,
I mean, at, you know, 3, 4, 5, somebody wasn't calling for a pitching change.
Exactly.
I mean, you had to get to 10
It, Leanne. There are a lot of people.
Yeah. And is your son a lefty or a righty?
He's a left. Oh. My son's a righty. The guy who was pitching was lefty. And, you know, it wasn't all his fault. There were a lot of errors.
Sure.
By players who were playing positions that they shouldn't have been playing. But, once it's starts on that downward spiral.
Yeah.
You've got to make some changes.
Yeah, you got to cut it right then.
Something.
Oh, man,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So, Leanne, I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question for you. I'm here and I'm looking at my screen and it says police in 0.1 miles, still there or not there. What do you do?
Do you
press not there because you just want to get it off your screen or do you wait to see if it's still there?
Okay, so I had that on my way because I use Waze as well. And it was like, vehicle up ahead, 0.3 miles, still there or no? Thanks. You know, and I go, they're trying to make me touch the screen and be an unsafe driver and like look away from the road while I'm driving. And I didn't touch it this time. Usually I do because I am that person like you. I want to get it off my screen because it's annoying. I'll just tap it whether I see him or not. But it really isn't until like 0.3, you know, so you're still having to go 10, 15 seconds
right
before you even see it or not. And I'm like, that's so annoying. They should just put it up like right before so you're not going, I don't know if it's still there. And why are you still on my screen?
Exactly.
I did not touch it today.
And, you know, the other thing is, I need to know where I'm going. I mean, as it happens, I've done this trip a time or two before.
Yes.
But I need to know where I'm going. I don't need to see these little messages. And I feel terribly. I'm such a good person. I don't like to lie. I don't like to, you know, I want to be responsible. If someone ever told me, you know, you have to have jury duty, I wouldn't want to lie. I'd like to do it even though I'm a Canadian citizen. I'm not eligible for jury duty. But the fact of the matter is I can't see where I'm going. So what do I do? And I'm glad to hear that you do what I do. I just touch the screen. It's dangerous. And if ever I get into an accident, I'm going to sue Waze because I touched the screen. They
that,
made
it's
me
so funny. I thought about
screen.
That today. I thought about that. I'm like, what about an app that's actually encouraging you to touch it while you're driving? I thought that. I'm like, can I sue Waze if I, you know, rear in somebody while I'm on the 101 or the 405?
You know, it's the same app that tells you you can't start touching your directions and everything while you're driving.
Right, exactly.
You know, they'll give you a little notice saying, please wait till your vehicle is stopped. Yet they're making you touch it because you can't drive anywhere without knowing where you're going because there's big things in the middle of the screen.
Exactly. Or, I mean, how many times, and I'm guilty, will it say your car will go, while you're driving, you're not supposed to be using this app. Verify that you're a passenger. I'm all, sure, click. I'm the passenger in this car. I need you to work, damn it. But yeah, it is a little frustrating.
Wait. Leanne, you've actually lied and said you're a passenger when you're a driver?
You know, it's one of those, like, you know, little tiny ones.
Hey,
it's
no,
a tiny little fib.
Ma'am, excuse me, it's a yes or no answer. This is a deposition. You're not getting away with it. I just asked you whether or not you have, in fact, been untruthful and said you were a passenger when you were a driver.
Yes, I have said that I was a passenger when, in fact, I was a driver because I needed to use the phone. But
oh,
I was in safe
you know
conditions.
What?
I was in traffic. I had my foot on the brake.
I like you so much more knowing that because I'll tell you, I've done the same thing. And if you would have said no, you could have lied to that app. I would have lost a lot of respect for you.
Hey, sometimes you need your phone and it tries to tell you you can't use it while you're driving. And I'm like, well, the app that I'm using is to help me while I'm driving. Just let me
right.
in on it. I forgot to put it on while I started driving and then I needed it.
And sometimes telling a little white lie is the worst thing in the world. I wouldn't, you know, want to do that on a consistent basis. But who's it really hurting?
Right.
Other than the person that you smash into because you're using the app.
But see, I take into account everything that's happening, right? I knew my foot was on the brake. I'm safe. We're not moving at high speeds. Or I try to do it while I'm in gear, obviously, but I'm completely stopped because we're in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and that's when I try to
exactly.
do things. Or if I'm coming to a stop sign, I'll do it, or at a red light, but I'm not doing it while I'm going 75, I mean, it was 65?
Right.
Well, I'm doing
exactly.
65 down the freeway.
You're being responsible.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm almost there. I'm at a red light.
Okay.
I'm going to turn to the person next to me. Turn to 790. Listen to me. I'm talking right now. You can hear the guy next to you at the red light talking on the radio.
Did they just roll up your window and think you were a crazy guy?
No, they gave me the finger.
Oh,
wow.
Alan.
Wow,
Alan,
there's
Alan,
really
Alan.
Mean. I didn't deserve that. I really didn't deserve it.
You know, people in LA are very different than people in other parts of the country. They like to keep to themselves. I mean, people say New Yorkers are pretty, you know, brash people that, you know, sort of want to be left alone and not talk to. But I find that a lot in California, too. People, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I'm not going to let you out if you're, you know, trying to get out of a parking spot or if you're going to cut in front of me. People are not very nice when it comes to that. So they're, you know, thinking you're talking to me. Why is this guy talking to me? You know, you're freaking them out.
Doesn't that bother you? Because, you know, I think of your kids being about the same age as my
mm-hmm.
kids. Why do they have to grow up in this environment? Why can't they grow up in an environment where people are really sweet and people are nice and they're not, you know, trying to do something that's negative and being in their face?
Well,
maybe we should move somewhere else.
Well, we're probably going to do that after they get out of school. But what I'm going to say is this. Right? Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So you have to set the example that you can. Mom and dad has to do the best that they can to show by example, lead the way. And then, you know, it's like leading a horse to water. You can only make them drink. I'm just trying to give the best,
right.
you know, vision of myself. And, you know, if I let somebody out, they're like, why'd you let somebody out? I'm like, because it's nice. And there's a whole ton of traffic behind me who's probably not going to let them out. And what if that was
yeah.
us? You know, so you can just do as much as you can. To be a good parent, show them the way you would do it.
I think that's the best gift you can give your kids. Do the right thing, and
right.
that's what we're focused on. I'm in the parking lot. We're going to take a break,
yes.
and I'm going to be in the studio in 1 minute. I appreciate everyone listening, especially those on the freeway who I just passed to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We will be right back.
All right, I see the red light.
You must see the light.
On the air. You know, it's so funny. I ran in from the parking lot. For those of you who missed the first segment, I was driving here and stuck in traffic, and Leanne Tweeden was thankfully taking care of business here. I ran into the studio, and I have Wayman in the booth pointing at me to get on the air, get on the air. I can't hear a thing. I'm listening. I can't hear a thing. And guess what? Wayman, you know what happened? My headphones weren't plugged in. They were on the floor. So I got these things over my ears, and the cord is just hanging there. Has anyone ever out there ever tried to do a radio show when your headphones aren't plugged in?
And you can't hear what's going on?
I didn't hear a thing.
It's tough.
But I did see two wonderfully beautiful women sitting next to me, and I'm in the between.
We're holding
them.
Down the fort.
Thank you
and
so
you,
much.
And did you notice, like, if I would have had to have hosted the show because your son went all the way today and
yes.
you were still in the... I didn't realize you were in Conejo Valley. I just thought you were in the valley somewhere. You
no,
were way
Conejo
up there.
Valley, yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'll sit in Alan's seat because that's like sort of the driver's seat here.
Absolutely.
But then when I heard you were on your way, I go, I will just sit here and we'll have our guests sit over there. So your throne was waiting.
Do you know what would have happened if I would have walked in and you were sitting in my chair?
You would have lost your cool.
Archie Bunker-like. I'm dating myself.
I was going to say, there might be some youngins on here that don't know that reference.
All right. Well, you know, if you want to call me and ask me any question, this is the time to do it. We have a interesting show planned for you. Last minute changes. We had this psychic coming on. John, what's his name? John Robert?
John Edwards, I think.
Edwards, Roberts, whatever.
Yeah.
So the psychic's Same. Supposed to be on tonight, and somehow he couldn't figure it out. That he couldn't make it.
Or that he had a an obligated somewhere
yes.
else. And my husband goes, he's a psychic. He couldn't predict that.
How does he not know?
That's what Chris said.
That he can't make it. He committed himself. He was from this show called Crossing Over or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of psychics. I don't believe a word that they say. But he will be on our show soon, so he'll have an opportunity to convince me otherwise. But I couldn't believe when Genevieve, our producer, says he's canceling. He had another engagement. Huh? And I want this guy predicting the future for me when he can't even predict the future that he's not going to be able to be on the show. Why don't you introduce to us our guests?
Yes, and I've been talking to her. We came in together. We actually drove in together and we walked
you
in.
You drove in together?
Well, we were right next to each other. I pulled in and then I saw somebody pull in behind me and I looked over and I go, that must be Maru. Yes,
Maru.
And it was. And so this is employment attorney Maru Majidi. And we came in together and we've been talking, so we've kind of been getting background on each other. She's an attorney at Shagirian and Associates, correct, right? That's how
right.
you say it, Shagirian.
One of the finest employment law firms in the
and
city.
And she graduated from Pepperdine, so
Pepperdine,
right down the street, beautiful
the waves,
campus, the
waves.
Best. Oh, I've thrown a first pitch for them. Yes.
You have?
Yes, fantastic.
Wow,
it's beautiful. My husband has too. They do a lot for the veterans and you know,
yeah.
stuff like that. So it's
and I have
fantastic.
A couple of friends who played on their baseball team.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, Josh Oder, who's been on the show, a great financial analyst, and Randy Wolf, of course, who played for the Dodgers.
That's awesome. Yeah, so she's here with us, and she was actually designated as a rising star, which I love. I'm going to give her all the love here.
Super
which
lawyer, right?
Means,
Thank you
very much. Yeah, she's one of the top-rated lawyers. So, and that was 2020 through 2022.
Wow,
so, and I'm sure 2023 is going to be in the books too. And you know, she was admitted to practice law in 2014, and she represents clients here in the Los Angeles area. So we have been getting to know one another, and she's fantastic.
And she works for a great firm. Thank you for being with us. Tell us a little bit about your firm. Because
yeah,
I know,
look at that.
I know Shagirian and Associates have a great name. How did you get involved with Shagirian Associates? And is I'll call him Mr. Shagirian, as brilliant as they say he is?
Even more so, quite frankly. And, you know, once I landed in the field of employment law, I knew that I was in the right area, and it was just a matter of finding the right firm now. And there was one firm name that really stood out to me, and that was Shagirian and Associates. And I'd heard these stories about, you know, Carney Shagirian and, you know, this tales about how he would be at trial with the David and the Goliath, you know, going against these big corporations. And I was like, wow, you know, like, I think I want to work for that guy. And so, you know, fast forward, I applied, and next thing you know, I'm working there. And it's really been a dream come true and a wonderful experience.
So when we say employment law, I'm the non-attorney in this room. You represent people who are trying to go up against their bosses or the people they work for? What do you do?
Sure. So I represent the people, the employees. So if an employee is in a situation where they've been retaliated against, discriminated against, wrongfully terminated, that's where we step in to represent the employees against, you know, the company that they work for.
And that's amazing. I was telling her earlier, I had worked at another radio station and I had a contract. They ended up firing my co-host, and then I was on the chopping block because they were just going to do something different. But they terminated me and said, hey, oh, here's your severance. And I'm like, wait a minute, that I'm not an attorney, but I don't think that's exactly what I should be getting more. And I thought about it for a few days, and then I went out and I actually got it, was a female attorney. And she goes, yeah, I think we can get you some more money. They got me, you know, like $25,000 more. And I was so happy. It wasn't the money. It was the point that I knew that I was being sort of let go. And it wasn't quite what they had said to me or promised me or what was written down, even
it's
though I could read it.
You know,
but
what?
It worked. They gave me more money.
I'm so glad you brought that up because it begs a question here. What kind of leverage would Leanne have in a case like that? Because playing devil's advocate, you think about it saying, if there's nothing in writing that states that a certain amount will be given to someone if they're let go, how do you, as an employment lawyer, negotiate that kind of severance package when there's nothing to go by?
Sure. So at that point, it almost becomes like pre-settlement discussions as if, you know, there was a case that was about to be ensued. Because what you want to look at is, what's the real reason that they're, you know, kind of treating you differently?
Right.
Is it because of, you know, policy changes, or is it because of your gender or because of some other protected category, what we call protected categories under the law, your age, your race, so on and so forth? And when we look at the situation, if it appears that they would be treating you differently because of one of those things, for example, that gives us leverage to go in and say, look, you know, like, this is the reality of what appears to be the situation, and this is probably what's coming up, or we can just, you know, see if we can resolve it at this point in time.
So do you go to the employer then and say, hey, do you go first with, we want more money, or do you go first saying, hey, we think you've maybe crossed the boundary, and then let's negotiate because we're not happy with what you're offering in severance? Do
sure.
you start with a number, or do you start with like saying, hey, this is how we're feeling about this?
You know, it really depends. It's such a fact-specific situation, such a case-by-case situation. Sometimes you go in with the facts. Other times, if maybe there's been some numbers thrown out, then you jump straight into that. So it really depends on the situation.
So interesting.
You know, when you think about it, what if someone comes to you and you can't identify a cause of action or a potential claim that can be made? How do you negotiate it? Do you bluff, or do you try to create one? Because every time someone's let go from a job, it doesn't necessarily mean there is a cause of action. And I understand what you're saying, because you can write a great letter, I'm sure, stating, you know, this should have been done, this should have been done, and it wasn't done, or this was discrimination. But if you can't identify it, what do you do?
So it's really important to be transparent with individuals where you look at something and it doesn't look like there was any kind of wrongdoing, and let them know you don't want to pursue or go into something if there's nothing there to pursue. But a lot of times people that do reach out to an attorney, it's because something has happened.
Right.
And when you dig into things more, you discover that, oh, well, funny, right before they were fired, they had just complained about this, you know, illegal act, and the timing of it looks very, you know, so even though the person may not present it to you, when you dig into it, you're like, well, this isn't, you know, kind of suspicious. But in situations sometimes, and to your point, a lot of people think that being terminated, you know, for a reason that they don't agree with is illegal. Not necessarily. You
right.
know, it's not illegal to be fired for, you know, a reason that you disagree with, or maybe, you know, you got fired because you were told you were late, but,
right.
you know, you've seen other people not fired because they're late. It comes down to what the actual reason is that you were fired for and whether that's illegal. So, you know, there are times where it's not something that we would pursue for that reason.
Right. And I'm going to ask you a follow-up question, but if anyone has any questions for Maru, you can call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. You may have a question about an employment situation or about wrongful termination, which would be an employment situation.
So you would cover like whistleblowers too?
Yes.
If they felt like they were targeted wrongly.
Definitely.
Terminated. Okay. Yeah.
What is the percentage of cases that you'll take? Because I know a lot of people feel they are wronged when they are let go.
Right.
They may come to you. How many cases or what percentage would you take and really believe there was a reason to go after the employer?
Sure. I don't know what those numbers would specifically be. It's not something that, you know, I'm more involved in the litigation and the trial aspect of things. But I do know generally, you know, there are situations where, you know, we may not take certain cases and there are other situations. I'm not sure what the number breakdown would be. There's definitely categories of both.
So, yeah, you're not answering the calls, just sort of figuring out, like, if you have a case or not. You're getting them once they're already with your organization and you're trying to get ready for trial or however you're going to approach the employer. Right?
Yes, yes.
So you're kind of deeper down the line than that.
Yeah. I don't know if we have time before the break. We got a couple of minutes. We have a caller, Robert in Texas. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Welcome.
Hi. Thanks. My question today is about a term I see kind of often. It's at will. And I never really knew what that meant.
I don't
know. I see like employment at will, termination at will. And if you could explain that, maybe like what the alternative is. I see it a lot, but I don't really know a lot about it.
That's actually something that is, it's a great question. And you do see the term at will thrown out a lot. And in California, there's a presumption that employers are at will. What that means is that you can be fired for any reason or no reason at all. But that is not to be mixed up with, you still cannot be fired for an illegal reason. That said, the concept of at will is a little bit problematic because the reality of the situation is that if you're fired, you're going to expect to hear a reason as to why.
Right.
And if you're not given any reason, it causes a question mark in someone's mind of what's the motivation here and is it an illegal motivation? And if you are working for an employer and you're doing well and you're getting great performance reviews, why would they suddenly come and terminate you just because you're quote unquote at will and can be fired at any time?
Right.
So
they still have to have a reason, like a justifiable reason.
They legally don't, but practically speaking, it becomes problematic if there isn't a legitimate reason for the termination because it may, you know, result in them having done other things that they shouldn't have done, which is why they're not giving you a reason.
Yeah, and sometimes you would hope that an employer was smart enough to cover their bases and provide a legitimate letter. I know doing workers' compensation, a lot of times people are let go, maybe because they reported an injury, which is illegal, or for any other reason.
Wait, what is illegal? You said because they reported an injury,
right,
and it's illegal for them to take action against you because you said, I was hurt on the job.
Right, so it's Labor Code Section 132A, which requires an employer to not discriminate against an injured worker because they report an injury.
I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do? I mean, if you
that's
injured
why there's
on the
insurance.
Well, right, exactly. Frustrating.
Yeah. We need to take a break right now. Thank you, Robert, for calling. We have Michael Goldstein, personal injury attorney, who's going to come on as well to speak with us about personal injury cases. If you have any questions, it's 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right, we're back. I'm here with Leanne Tweed, and it's always nice to have Leanne by my side.
Thank
protecting
you.
Me, my little security blanket. And it's nice to have Maru Majidi here, who is the managing associate attorney of Shagarian & Associates, an employment law firm. We were just commenting in the break how smooth Maru
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Pleasure
done,
to be here.
She's a pro.
She's done some radio, obviously, because it's not easy to just come on and to be speaking without the ahs, ahas, you know, I know, all that stuff.
She's got an answer right on the tip of her tongue.
Very
I want
smooth.
That person in court with me. Come on.
And we're going to bring Michael Goldstein on in a second, but we have a bunch of calls here, and maybe we can take some... you don't mind taking calls, Maru?
No, not at all.
All right. Okay. You know, if you did say, yeah, I'm afraid of it. You know, it's funny because I was just at a conference this weekend, one for the California Applicant Attorneys Association, and had one of my guests who was the keynote speaker, Lee Steinberg, super agent Lee Steinberg,
yes,
who was on
yes.
the show a few weeks ago. And he was the keynote speaker that I had facilitated. And I said to him, Lee, do you think you can handle 15 minutes of questions at the end of your presentation? And he looked at me like, I've negotiated $6 billion worth
in contracts. Of course. He's like,
do you think
minutes.
I can't take questions? So, Maru, you're just like
you can do
Lee
15
Steinberg.
Minutes in his sleep.
Yeah. Guadalupe, you're on Gervie's Law with Leanne Tweeden and Maru Majidi.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, how are you? Okay, so I have a couple of questions, right? I have one for my daughter and one for myself. She used to work, we're here in California. She used to work for Alhambra School District. For not getting vaccinated, she got let go. What does she do about it?
That's interesting. I mean, that's been happening a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah, yes. We're seeing that.
Yes. And yes, they let her go. So she, since October, she's been out of work. In the process of that, she got pregnant and she got diagnosed with Hashimoto's. So she's at a high risk pregnancy.
Interesting. Maru, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry about the situation with your daughter. And let me precursor this by, you know, this is not legal advice. What I'm doing is just sharing general concepts and things like that. And if this is a situation where you feel that there was something wrong, I encourage you to reach out to an attorney's office and to get legal advice and to really share the full facts of everything so you can get an actual assessment. What I can say is that with respect to vaccinations, it's definitely something newer that we're seeing come up. And so it's not as well established as other areas would be. One component of it is that we would look at is, was it reasonable to request that under the circumstances? Was it something that was a major safety issue that would really make it so that it was not an unreasonable request? Now, again, that's just one component of things. And it sounds like there's a lot that may have happened here. And so, again, I would encourage you to, or your daughter to reach out and to a lawyer to get, you know, advisement on the situation to see what you can do.
Would there be a difference between a public company and a private company when you're looking at these kind of rules that are being mandated?
Not necessarily with respect to what laws would apply. I think the situation itself, if you're public, it may mean that you're needing to be at the workplace, whereas a private employer may have more flexibility just because of the nature of the work. So that's really the main component, but not really otherwise.
Yeah. Thanks, Guadalupe, for the question.
I think she has one more.
You have one more? We've got so many. We got to be quick. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, so I got hurt at my job, right? And I just received a letter from a Rehab West that they're going to have a virtual interactive process meeting with me because my doctor put restrictions for my work. And that I wanted to know how I could go about it. I'm not suing or anything. They were giving me the care that I needed, you know, the medical care and stuff. But now they're going to have this. My doctor already gave his notes to, I guess, the state saying
right.
that, you know, my what my restrictions are. So I'm supposed to have a meeting with the district and stuff. Should I look for legal action?
Okay, first of all, Guadalupe, have you filed a workers' compensation claim?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a workman's compensation.
Okay, so you have an open claim, and there are certain rules pursuant to the labor code that the employer is permitted to follow. One of them is when your doctor does release you to go back to work, there can be an interactive process whereby they try to determine whether the job you're doing is within your restrictions or if outside the scope of the restrictions. I do a lot of this, and typically when you have a lawyer, it can protect you because you have to be familiar with the medical reporting, whether or not it's accurate or not, or whether the attorney or the person who is in pro per without an attorney needs to file an objection or needs to do a deposition to clarify what the doctor is saying. So it's a complicated question, but you need to look at the facts to see whether or not the restrictions are something that you think you can work with and go back to work, and whether the employer can accommodate you based on those restrictions. So the process is part of the law. The factual issues become something that either an attorney or you will have to deal with your employer to make sure that it's fair and not against your interests. We have to move on. Guadalupe, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Quickly, Johnny in LA, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. You guys providing very, very elegant information about these things because a lot of people don't know anything about those laws. I have a similar situation that I got terminated when I was on worker comp case. I have a hip injury and I have a hand injury. I worked at that place almost maybe 14 years. And suddenly some new manager came and he didn't like me or whatever. So what happened is that they put some account, just like restriction, the doctor put it for me. And he refused to accommodate me. I used my own vacations time to able to, go from that restriction. I mean, take off like a days off or whatever.
Right.
But he didn't accommodate me. He refused to accommodate me from the doctor restriction. So one day I fell down from the stair. I was working in my office in my house and I fractured my leg. I went to the emergency. When I come back from the emergency, doctor wrote the note over there that he put the cast and everything. And he told me that you can able to work because you're working from home. With the restriction, so you can. He gave me that paperwork also after with the summary and everything, and he refused to accommodate me that time either. He just video called me and with a smirk on his face. And
wow. Unfortunately, a lot of these doctors are working in the interests of the employer or the insurance company and not for the injured person. So that smirk on the face is something that I hear about a lot because they have a lot of pressure. This is where the money interests come into play. They have a lot of pressure to put you back to work, whether you're ready or not. As for remote work versus work in an office, I just went to a panel on that. And you do have rights if you're working remotely and you get injured on the job, you do have rights.
Because he's at home, right? But that's him working from his house. That's what you mean, right? He fell down in his home. Yeah.
But you need to establish that the work is actually at home. It's not something that just occurs, one day. You can't just claim, I broke my leg at home. I was working at the time. You need to establish there's a pattern of work that you were supposed to be working
right,
at
from,
home.
Right, from, 8 to 3 or whatever, and it was during those times.
It was the pandemic, so we were working from home.
Yeah, a lot of people are. And, they're complicated cases, but, you do have an ability to make sure that all of the doctor's restrictions, limitations to go back to work are correct because you shouldn't go back if you can't, if they're being unfair to you. But if it is fair, then if an employer can accommodate you, then again, you're going to have to go back to work. But again, it's something that a lawyer should deal with. It's very complicated. Employment law and workers' compensation law. both are very, very complex areas where lawyers help out. We got to move along, unfortunately. Thank you for the call,
good
Johnny.
Good luck, Johnny.
And good luck. I wish we had more time to talk to you. I just want to quickly bring Michael Goldstein in here because I know he's been waiting patiently. And unfortunately, he was going to be here at the studio but couldn't make it. And I want to welcome you, Michael Goldstein, attorney at law. He's got a very successful practice here in the Los Angeles area. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Leanne. Thanks so much for having me on.
You know, Michael, it's really important to have you on because so many people have issues that they don't know how to deal with. Over the last couple of years, and we're going to take a break in a minute, but tell us what you've been focusing on and what kind of cases, during COVID and now moving a little bit out of COVID, what kind of cases have you been dealing with?
Well, prior to COVID, and as you know, because you just experienced it, you were caught in traffic. So there's a lot of traffic going on in LA. And prior to COVID, a lot of the personal injury work and cases that we were working on were car accident cases. And as a result of COVID, a lot of people were working from home and traffic changed. Traffic patterns changed. The number of accidents went down. You may have seen insurance rebates from your auto insurance companies because they were having fewer claims and they were required by the insurance commission to rebate some money to you. So what happened is the volume of cases went down, at least in the auto accident realm, but other cases were kind of picking up. There were more people out there walking their dogs, and dogs, there are no free bites in California. If your dog bites somebody, you're liable. Wow. Under your homeowner's policy or renter's policy, depending on what you have. So those cases increased. We also saw a lot more people who were falling because of the network of, there are about 70,000 miles of sidewalks in Los Angeles County.
Yep.
And a lot of them are really in serious disrepair.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of people out there who are walking to get out of their house under COVID just to get air and get to avoid being stir crazy. And they were falling because of the sidewalks were in such bad disrepair. So we saw a lot of an increase in those cases in trip and falls due to poorly repaired or non-repaired sidewalks.
Yeah,
things like that.
You know,
so that's kind of how things have changed.
It makes a lot of sense, and I know that Maru was talking a little bit about how employment law has also changed. Same with workers' compensation. You know, we think as attorneys in these three areas that nothing would ever affect us, whether it's a recession or otherwise.
Right.
We didn't plan on COVID.
Well, like
and
the call
remote.
Before, the guy said, I fell down in my house. And I'm like, how does that? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, he was working from home.
Right.
So I guess that could be considered the workplace.
It is.
If
you're working
so different.
From home.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We're going to talk more to Maru and Michael after the break. If you have any questions, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. This is Gervie's Law.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on AM 790 KABC.
All right, we're back. In our last segment, we're talking to Michael Goldstein. He's an attorney here in Los Angeles. He has successfully represented many people in a lot of different areas in personal injury. And we also have Maru Majidi here, who is the managing associate attorney at Chigarian & Associates, one of the top employment law firms in the city. We're going to take a quick call from Douglas in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
Douglas, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Is it at all possible that it could be my fault in a rear-end car accident when I'm the one hitting the rear?
It's a good question. A lot of people...
Did you slam on your brakes because the guy was tailgating you for 5 miles?
I'm going forward.
Yeah, good. Michael, what do you say?
I would say it's highly unlikely, but if you're in the process of making a lane change, you get rear-ended, so you're changing into somebody's lane and you don't have established control of the lane, that is a possibility where you may share fault or you may be completely at fault if you make a sudden lane change without a blinker on. But if you're just proceeding forward in your lane and you have established control of the lane that you're in and you get rear-ended, then no, as a general rule, you would not be at fault. And again, that's I'm not offering legal advice or just talking in general concepts.
Why is that the case? I mean, it seems obvious.
Yeah, I mean, since I was a kid, it's like, if you're the one getting hit, you're, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. If you're the one hitting the person, you're at fault. Yeah.
Michael?
Well, I mean, the law requires you to, you know, when you're making a lane change, to signal and make it, and you can't make that lane change until it's safe to do so. So if there's somebody in the lane who's next to you, say to your right, and you're making a lane change into the lane to your right, and you don't necessarily see that person, you don't look, you may not have a rear view camera, whatever, and you go ahead and you're maybe halfway in that lane, you may share fault for that accident.
Yeah. I don't know, Douglas, that's the answer you want to hear, but I think that's...
As a general rule, if you're just in your lane, you get rear-ended, then nope, you're not going to be at fault.
That's it. All right, thanks for the call.
You know, something that I was asking Maru about earlier, because we were talking, and you know, I would say, hey, I'm the non-attorney, I need layman's terms, can you explain things to me? And we hit on arbitration. And that word, I think, I remember the first time I had heard it, I was dating a baseball player. And, you know, they talk about arbitration a lot. Obviously, you're in baseball a lot, you know. And I'm like, what does arbitration mean? Can you tell me, like, you know, obviously that pertains to baseball, but what does arbitration mean when people hear about that? And what does that mean for them legally?
Sure. So arbitration is a different path, if you will, that you can go down as opposed to filing a lawsuit in court, which ultimately leads to a jury trial. And in arbitration, you go down a different route, which you still have some fact finding. And at the conclusion of that proceeding, instead of a jury trial, you have a arbitrator, sometimes a panel of three, usually one single arbitrator making the decisions on the case. And so the significance of that, especially in the employment realm, is several fold. One is, you know, we don't have a perfect legal system, but I think it's
pretty good.
I think it's one of the better ones
out
there.
Wait, you can't say that. You're not in the system. Michael, you wouldn't agree
No, but
with
I
that,
was a foreman
you?
On a jury Who trial cares? Before, even though it Who didn't cares? Turn out the way I wanted.
Michael, we don't have a good system in personal injury. Look at all the limitations, right?
Well, every system, I think, is imperfect.
True,
yeah. But,
you're so diplomatic.
Know, but I think we have some very good aspects to it. And, you know, if you take a look at the jury verdicts out there in the world of personal injury these days, they're pretty good.
Yes.
Notwithstanding COVID.
For the person that got injured, right?
And COVID, correct.
Right.
Correct.
And what about arbitration and personal injury?
Well, arbitration and personal injury typically comes up in an uninsured and underinsured motorist format where you're contractually obligated when you have an insurance policy, because an insurance policy is a contract. With your auto insurance company to actually go to what's called either uninsured or underinsured motorist arbitration, which, like Maru said, it's essentially a trial, but there's no jury. It's just typically a one person who's selected to be the arbitrator. It's either a retired or it's either another attorney or a retired judge. And they call balls and strikes. They're the ones that make the call on the claim.
I'm right. just curious. I mean, and, if that person, if you've said, yes, I'll go to arbitration, and they make that ruling, and maybe you're not happy, can you appeal an arbiter's decision? Can you appeal that
question. That's a great question. Yeah, you can appeal, but your right to appeal is very limited. There's a case on point called, and I don't want to get too technical here, called the Moncarch case. And there are about six or seven grounds so that allow you to appeal. For example, if the arbitrator is biased, let's say you have a claim, an arbitration claim against IBM, and mm-hmm. the arbitrator happens to be on the board of directors of IBM. Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be a conflict of interest.
But how right. do you find that out? How do I find that out if I'm just the? How do I find that out? Is that your? Hopefully, my attorney would dig into that and find that out.
The internet's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Right.
So you should be able to go ahead and do a lot of research on it.
It's funny online. Because at the conference I was at, they were saying that Google is probably a better legal tool than LexisNexis now with everything.
My associate would agree with you.
Yeah, well, we all do, I think. Maru, tell us about, we have to close up quickly, with your cases, how many are going to trial and... what percentage are you settling? Are you frustrated to go to trial? Is it too much work?
No, not at all. And in fact, you know, that's what we do. That's our bread and butter. And that's what, you know, we're the best at. And we love going to trial. And that's why, you know, the fundamental pillar of our country is the jury system. And so when we see that waived in these arbitration agreements, it's devastating because it takes the control away from a jury of your peers who are non-biased, who are going to look at everything, assess credibility individually. You have multiple people doing this. So we absolutely love going to trial and taking cases to trial. And it's an incredible system and one of the better ones
right
out there.
Yeah. Michael, would you agree with that?
Yeah, by and large, yes, I would. And I would certainly like to get in front of a jury. You know, so long as you've got the right case and the right facts and the right client, I think you got a real solid chance of doing well.
So isn't it great, Leanne, to hear these are, he used the word solid, Michael just said solid, two solid attorneys. These are real attorneys.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some of us get a bad name because they're more business people than real attorneys. And you're hearing Maru and Michael saying, hey, we love this.
Right.
This is
and
what
we
do.
And we want to take your case to trial in front of your
and
peers.
And make sure there's justice.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what people want in
how
the
do people get a hold? We got a minute. How do people get a hold of you? Maru first with Shagarian & Associates.
Yeah, you can visit us on shagarianlaw.com and it has all the information, contact, and you know, we're always available and happy to help.
Great. And Michael, what about you?
Yeah, you can take a look at our website as well. It's www.mbglawyers.com. And our office number is 323-651-0125. Or you can reach me on my cell phone number, and I'm available for my clients every day. All my clients have my cell phone number. It's 310-528-7003.
Wow.
That's dedication right there.
Oh, my goodness. Michael, you're my new hero. I don't do that. I don't get on my cell phone. This guy means business.
Alan, we're in a service business.
Absolutely.
Got to be available for a client.
You got to do it, and I'm taking my hat off to you for doing that.
And in a car accident doesn't just happen from 9 to 5.
That's true. And Maru is smiling, too, because she probably isn't going to give her cell phone. But
no, but I asked her today, what were you doing earlier? She's like, working. I go, well, I guess it doesn't stop. She said, that's right.
All right. Michael, Maru, thank you so much for being with us today on Gervie's Law. We really enjoyed it. Great information.
Yes.
Check them out. They're the best in the business. And Leanne's the best in our business.
Thank you.
Broadcast.
You made it here. I love it. We had great callers today. It's a very interesting show.
So good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And thanks for holding the fort.
Absolutely.
All right. Next week, it's going to be a real exciting edition of Gervie's Law. I'm not going to tell you what it is. See you then.